This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
You're listening to the Discipleship Now radio broadcast with your host, Pastor Hilton Wells. Stay tuned and allow the Holy Spirit to give you power, insight, and revelation from the Word of God to be the type of disciple that Christ has destined you to be. Listen closely, open your heart, and be blessed.
Verses 16 through 17, God established his authority over Adam and therefore creation by establishing parameters. So after he created Adam, he gave Adam his assignment of overseeing the garden. He gave and established authority over Adam and all creation by setting boundaries and parameters for Adam. He told Adam that you can eat from every tree in the garden except for one tree. And that tree was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He established authority in Adam's life. In verse 18, God observes man's need for a woman. In verses 19 through 20, God gives Adam a mission within his life assignment. His mission within his life assignment was to name the animals. In verse 21 through 25, the beginning of family is established through eternal union. And I've beat this horse to death, so I'm not going into the same-sex marriage. Y'all already know. But for the sake of the CD that will probably be on the radio, the point is God created a man and a woman, and they begin to birth a family. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 through 4, children are born and reared until adulthood, acknowledging God. Now, I need to spend a little bit of time unpacking that. Because the Bible says that Adam knew his wife Eve, and they bare Cain and Abel. Adam did not know Steve, because Steve could not produce Cain and Abel. Adam knew Eve. And both Cain and Abel had a relationship with the Most High God. Now, Cain and Abel made their own decisions. Cain decided that he was just going to bring God an offering from the ground, some of the fruits and vegetables that he had grown. But Abel was a shepherd, and he brought God the best of the flock. Both of them knew God. But both of them made a choice to the degree in which they will serve God. And that's a challenge today. How will we serve the Lord? It's your choice. I can serve myself and never serve God. And you know what? That's fine. Because everyone has a choice. But know the consequence for that choice, for not accepting Christ, for not choosing Christ, is the lake of fire. Or I can accept Jesus Christ and I can serve him half-heartedly, but know that I won't experience the fullness of what God has for me. Abel and Cain made a choice. Cain said, you know what, God? I'm going to do it my way, and you ought to just take what I gave you. I know who you are, but I'm just going to do my own thing. Let me tell you what that spirit is. That's the spirit of rebellion. And it's a strong spirit. And that spirit leaves you uncovered. See, when you're in rebellion, God can't cover you. You're in rebellion. You're talking about him, but doing something else. But Abel humbled himself. Everybody say humbled himself. That's the challenge. Can I humble myself and say, God, I want to please you. God, I want to give you what you want. How many in the house want to give God what he wants? You can't do them both. You have to give him what he wants. He asks for our faith. He asks for our commitment. He asks for our love. He asked for the ministry that he's given us. He's given us a commission. See, when you say you love God, the Bible says, if you love me, keep my. So don't say you love him if you keep your own commandments. That's what Cain did. Cain made a decision to do what he wanted to do, but Abel honored the Lord. And see, this is how the spirit of rebellion is. The spirit of rebellion get angry with those who are trying to obey God. So what happened? Here was Abel. I'm just serving the Lord. Love your Lord, whatever you say. Here go Cain looking at him cross-eyed. See, don't become afraid. Don't worry when people get upset with you for serving the Lord. That's been going on for millenniums. Because when you really start serving God and people not serving God, yeah, they're going to fight you. But it's not them. It's the spirit of rebellion. The same spirit that killed Abel in the garden is the same spirit functioning today. And now it's at an even greater level. Rebellion. I want to do whatever my flesh tells me to do. I want to do whatever I feel like doing. I mean, no, you can't do whatever you feel like doing. I might go on Walmart with $10 and feel like I want number T-bone steaks. Give them here. Well, don't you know they're going to arrest me? But I felt like it. I have a right to, you know, people say I pay taxes. Your taxes don't allow you to steal in Walmart. Amen. Somebody might say, well, why is this stop sign here? You know, I've heard people say, you know, why is the police policing in my neighborhood? Your neighborhood, you didn't found this neighborhood. You didn't lay the asphalt. Amen. You didn't put not one foundation stone down. Hey, you ain't got no neighborhood. Follow authority. But it's the spirit of rebellion. You can't tell me nothing. Don't say nothing to me. Amen. Everybody say, that's not me. That's not me. That's not me. That's me. I told y'all I was going to be sweeter this Sunday. See, y'all helped me to do it because many of y'all fasted. Some of you didn't. But when you do, what you do is you create an atmosphere for God to speak directly to our spirits. And then we're doing it together. It's not just the preacher. No, no, no. We're doing this together. Listen, you're a great group of people. I'm grateful to be your pastor. I'm grateful to pastor. I'm grateful. And I can't really express that. Because God connects people, David. God puts people together. We don't realize we're assigned to one another in this time. You helping me, I'm helping you. I can think back all through my life when I was stationed in Alaska, the people he connected with me with. Now, had I not made a decision to stay connected with them, in fact, one of the deacons that helped me really make a commitment to that church way back in 1995. He just passed last week, Deacon Ben Williams. I always say to myself, if anybody loved God, Deacon Ben loved him. Deacon Ben would say things like, and I'm a young believer, probably fresh, one year filled with the Holy Spirit, 1 year. He would say stuff like, Brother Wells, eat a hamburger with him. When the wind blowing, that's just him showing you that he loves you. And I give him glory that he go to shout. But that kind of stuff grounded me. There's no other way I can live. A fool has said in their heart that there's no God. Don't you let intellectual, secular humanism or your own rebellious nature fool you out of the blessing of God. Because they doing it. They got all kind of philosophies and theologies now. All kind of stuff. And if you don't have the seed of the word of God in you or a heart that's open to receive, you can be deceived. And then at the last minute, you like all them folks trying to get into the ark. Tell me, let me in. Noah couldn't open the door. The door was locked shut. And the flood waters were high. And nobody could get in. Don't you know all those people drowned? Except for the eight that made a decision to follow God. Don't you go off and be stubborn and rebellious and say, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. That's foolish. And see, what's strange is you held accountable for what you hear. Thank God you came today. So you could hear. But then once you hear, you have to make a decision. Is it Cain or Abel? Won't you know Cain killed Abel? But at the end of the day, regardless of what we do, if you got breath in your body, you got an opportunity to repent. What do you mean by repent? Repentance means you got an opportunity to say, you know what, God, I'm sorry. I don't want to live contrary to you and your will and your purpose. I'm sorry. Forgive me and help me to live for you. I was telling the young people this morning, the greatest decision you'll ever make is the decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. It's more important than the career you choose, more important than the person you marry, more important than where you choose to live. It's that decision to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. With that, I want to transition into the foundation for building strong families is families must be based on knowing Christ as Savior. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through 49, we find the gospel writer Luke. He gives a wise parable, if you would. And he says, in verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I want to read that again. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I pray that there's no one in here this morning that would say Lord, that would praise the Lord, but not do what he says. It's easy for us to begin to deceive ourselves and not even realize we're in deception. The very definition of the word Lord means ruler. So if you're calling Jesus Lord, that means he is the ruler of your life. And if Jesus Christ is the ruler of your life, how many know we ought to obey him? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. Somebody say into practice. That's a good place to say amen. I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Somebody say that rock is Jesus. You have no foundation if the foundation is not Jesus. I cannot build my foundation on education. All of our children may make straight A's, and we may be doctors and lawyers and astrophysicists. It doesn't matter. You cannot build your family foundation on education. You cannot build your family foundation on social status. Your whole family may be millionaires. Everybody may be well-to-do, but you cannot build your foundation on social or economic status. You cannot build your foundation on anything except something that is perfect and solid, and that is Jesus Christ himself. So the foundation of the family is, first of all, the parents give their life to Jesus Christ, and a parent, amen, is either a man or a woman that's single, overseeing a household, or a man and a woman that is married, overseeing a household. Notice I said that is married, overseeing a household. Amen. Because if we just living together, talking about we raising kids, you playing house, and you're hurting the future of God's creation of the family. Because at any time, you can split.